Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your weekly shot of Star Trek. I'm your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien, the practical joker!
The joker! How Aaron practical Batman. Are the jokes?
I am the most practical of jokers.
It gets the job done. Jerk is a Kirk. I mean, Kirk is a jerk.
Kirk is a jerk.
Yes.
Kirk is a jerk.
Jerk my Kirk.
Well...
A Great Warp 11 song. You should all look that up.
Yes, Warp 11. Good old Warp 11. We haven't gone off into the weeds of the animated series in quite a long time.
Ooh, boo, hiss. No, don't do it. Don't go into the line.
Nobody. So we're going to give you the animated series, The Practical Joker, the animated series, the recap that nobody asked for.
Oh, it's so painful. But first... We have news. Good or...
Much news.
Is it good news or is it bad news or is it a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both. I think some bad stuff happened and then maybe some good came of it, but it might have impacted the show badly.
For those who don't know, Aaron Harberts and Gretchen Berg have been fired as showrunners from Star Trek Discovery. They are no longer working
You're
on the
fired.
Show. It's said they will likely be credited for the first five episodes they worked on, but Alex Kurtzman is now taking over as showrunner, according to the article, and reasons they were fired was because they were apparently massively burning through the budget, so I'm guessing episodes 6 through 12 or 13 will be bottle episodes if they burnt through all the budget. And apparently there's abuse in the writer's room to the point where they were yelling expletives at other staff writers for maybe trying to stick to canon. Who knows? And
that's what you hope.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that they were trying to stick to canon. They got yelled at for trying to make canon right.
They could have been all drunk or something like that or not showing up on time. You don't know. Maybe there was a good reason.
Well, I mean... They went to HR, and they were yelled at and also threatened to not go to HR once there was reports about it. And apparently someone did go to HR, and HR has let them go. Or CBS, has let them go because of complaints. So apparently not all is well in the creative staff of Discovery, which is really disappointing because after we talked with Larry Nemechek and learned there was a third shakeup that we didn't even realize that happened in the first season, we thought there was just the two.
Right.
And there was three staffing changes that happened in Discovery season one. So we were hoping, against all hopes, that season two would be a nice, smooth, cohesive season with the same people working on it and the same vision. And we had hopes, and those hopes have now been dashed.
Yeah, there's no smoothness. Mm-mm. This is like a Brillo pad to the face.
Steel wool.
Yeah, so Alex Kurtzman, if you don't know, he's done a lot of producing, some writing, a little bit of directing, but he directed most notably was the last The Mummy with Tom Cruise, which I haven't seen, but I heard it's pretty bad. So
I mean, it was supposed to launch a cinematic universe, and it instead of launching the cinematic universe for the monsters, it killed it before it got started. So Alex Kurtzman
strangled it in its cradle
in its sleep. with the umbilical cord, just right after it popped out. So it's not looking good. And also Kurtzman should be a familiar name if you're familiar with the Kelvin Timelines movies. He and Roberto Orsi co-wrote the first two films together.
Yes.
And the third one, in my opinion, was the best, with Simon Pegg and Doug Jung writing it. So I'm not crazy about Kurtzman being in charge, because he doesn't seem apt, or he seems inept when it comes to doing things. I think he's tried to launch two cinematic universes, like the Monsters one. I think there was another one he was trying to launch and also failed on.
I'm going to disagree with you just slightly.
That doesn't write, co-host.
He's worked. But no, I still have the same concerns, but it's more of like, he did write Star Trek, and I think as more of a J.J. Abrams kind of issue with what we see in Star Trek, with kind of the Kelvin side of things, because he gave it the look. I mean, the stories could have been passable if we kind of like went back with the old look, you know, or try to make it cohesive.
They did have Lindelof on Into Darkness, and I blame the dumbness on Lindelof. But I mean, who knows how much J.J. Abrams, you know, had to say about the story? You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're credited as screenwriters, but who knows what J.J. said? Oh, this has to be done because I'm the executive. Right. You know, you have to do what I say, so make it go this way. So who knows like how much influence he had in that? It's hard to know. But
yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I just wish there was someone more competent, like Ronald D. Moore or Jonathan Frakes, or people that we know like love Star Trek and uphold it and do a good job. Because these people, Gretchen J. Berg and Aaron Harberts, were Brian Fuller's people. They were the people. They were part of Brian Fuller's team when they decided to start redoing Star Trek with the Star Trek Discovery. And when Brian Fuller left, he left, they were made showrunners after him. And, I suspect they were the ones who were carrying on his crazy mandates, like no round nacelles, Klingon shall have no hair. And who knows what other mandates that he said had to have, had to happen, because he wants to change Star Trek, even though it's supposedly in the prime timeline. So who knows if they were, I'm guessing they were the ones, holding to his vision as much as they could. And then doing their own stuff. Who knows?
It's possible. I mean, but the other thing is,
it's all speculation.
Alex Kurtzman, I was going to say, he did a couple of movies I did enjoy. He co-wrote it with a bunch of other people. Like, I think The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Dr. Octopus was one of the better ones that came out. I enjoyed that one immensely. And he did, Cowboys and Aliens, he co-wrote as well, which was interesting, with Harrison Ford. I'm not going to say it's the greatest movie ever, but it was fun to watch.
Harrison Ford co-wrote movie?
No, he didn't co-write it. He just was in it.
Okay.
Yeah, Cowboys and Aliens. so anyways, I do share the concern with Alex Kurtzman being the head writer. I don't know.
Showrunner.
But he, yeah. Whatever he's going to, when you want to consider him.
I mean, I guess it's also head of the writing room, because it sounds like they were yelling at people in the writing room. And Harberts and Berg were both writers on the first season. So, I mean, I guess it's a multiple responsibility writer/showrunner.
Yeah, and they were on the After Trek all the time.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
And talking. So they got kicked off,
Yeah.
And maybe we can rewatch those after Trek and see if they're abusive at all.
I'm sure they put on a good face for the camera.
I'm sure they do too. Maybe we could find some kind of glimmer of evidence.
Glimmer of hatred from them. Maybe. It might be worth checking out.
I hate Star Trek. Why am I doing this?
Who knows? It could very well be there.
I wanted to write for Downton Abbey.
Or Transformers Bumblebee.
That looks interesting, actually.
Yeah, it looks okay. I don't know if I want another Transformers movie, but it didn't look bad, the trailer for it, anyway.
Better than Elvis.
Sure, yeah. It seems a little bit more focused of a story, too, so that's good. But hey, I also did a short video kind of discussing more of my feelings on this topic, so that's up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Synthaholics. But I don't recall if there's anything else in the news. This was the big thing for the week.
Well, it's a big thing, too, because we've been harping on for I don't know how many episodes, is that with the shakeup with the writers, you're just not going to get really a cohesive season. you know, and it was, if we saw basically like three different flavors going on during season one. So what are we going to get for season two?
I just hope there's no more shakeups. I hope it's just the one, and then it can, the rest of it can go smooth. I mean, who knows? It does sound like chaos over there, which is unfortunate. And I'm sure we don't even know the half of it. We only know, like, you know, the very little bit that leaks out. So it'll be interesting. I mean, here's hoping for season three to be less of a mess. So I'm already
maybe season three won't even happen.
I mean, that's what I'm worried about. Like, if Star Trek is this much trouble, is CBS just going to pull the plug and be like, we're sick of all the, you know, the turmoil happening here? I mean, I know Walking Dead has also gone through like 100 showrunners. So I mean, and that show's still going. So who knows? I guess it depends on how that profitable show it is. Had a,
you know. It was extremely profitable, and it was, nobody expected to be as a smash hit that it was. You know, where Star Trek has a built-in fan base that they seem to be continuously alienating with all their decisions. If it's, you know, behind a paywall for CBS All Access, if it's, like you said, all the strange canon changes, you know, no hair on the Klingons. Round nacelles or square nacelles instead of round nacelles, all sorts of things. You know, it just it turns a lot of people off. So,
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, I hope season two comes out amazing. I mean, there's so much to be excited for. You know, I'm really excited to see Anson Mount play Pike. He looks just like Jeffrey Hunter. I mean, it looks really close. I mean, it's a great casting choice as far as for looks go. I mean, the Enterprise is going to be part of the season. Maybe the Enterprise won't leave halfway through the season if they've spent all the money building the Enterprise sets. Maybe they'll keep the Enterprise the entire second season just because they've built the sets and, you know, they need to keep it bottle episode-y. So maybe they'll do something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's the other side of it is, like, you know, if they've blown so much money on their budget with the first five episodes or what have you, you know, there's not much more they can do after that. I mean, you have... You know, eight more episodes you have to do. So, what are you going to do for eight episodes?
Bottle episodes, the way you do it cheap. So, I mean, just do bottle episodes in both the Discovery and the Enterprise. Just maybe make it episodic. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what they're going to do if they've blown most of the budget in the first five episodes. I don't know. I mean, like, we've heard issues like that with Brian Fuller. I mean, Brian Fuller left American Gods as showrunner for season two because of budgetary issues. He wanted more budget, and they didn't give it to him, I guess. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just a thing with Brian Fuller and his people, but they just like to blow things up out of the proportion. Who knows? I don't know.
And it's hard to believe, too, because you see the set designs for, like, season one, especially the Klingon ships. It's mind-boggling. You know, so some of the Klingon ships for the Ship of the Dead and stuff like that. I mean, I can't imagine what the cost of that was.
Yeah, the work is beautiful, and I'm sure it was very expensive, but I mean, like, I don't know what they're going to do with season two. It's just, it's been very hush-hush. Other than that, you know, they've cast Pike, and that there is going to be Enterprise stuff, so, I mean, we'll keep reporting news as we see it.
I think we need to start a campaign, Dave, to bring back Cybok.
Bring back Cybok. Bring back Cybok. We need Cybok. I want to see how disappointed Sarek's going to be in him. I just want to see Michael, Spock, Cybok, and Sarek and Amanda all on screen together. It's like the Partridge Family for Vulcans.
It'll be fantastic. Be, you know, and Cybok's just smoking a doobie. Cybok just smoking a doobie.
He's got to be smoking a doobie. Like, that's not logical, son. It's like, I don't care. That's great. The less logical, the better, Dad. Oh, man.
I found these mushrooms.
I found these mushrooms on the Discovery. Mushrooms. They're great. Stamets, what are you doing, man? I'm going to hang out here, Michael. I'm going to stay with you.
could you imagine that? Him and Stamets hanging out. That would be awesome.
Cybok and Stamets. The ultimate duo. Oh, maybe since Culber's dead, Cybok and Stamets can get a thing going on together. That'd be great.
You know, they never really defined what Cybok's sexuality was, so he could be gay.
He's a god sexual. He gets really turned on about finding God in Shakari.
Yeah. Well, maybe that comes later too.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's it's. Oh, man, I hope Cyborg comes back. I'm going to start that. We got to start that Twitter
hashtag.
Campaign.
Bring back Cyborg. That'd be great. Well, I mean, the showrunners are gone, maybe we could just directly tweet Alex Kurtzman. It's like, hey, what about Cyborg?
What about Cyborg?
Everyone, tweet CBS, Star Trek, and Alex Kurtzman. Bring back Cyborg. We're gonna Twitter bomb them. Rally behind us.
Who the fuck is Cyborg? He's gonna be like, who the fuck is Cyborg?
That'd be great. That'd be funny. Bring back Cyborg.
Well, I guess we'll just have to see if we see Cyborg. I mean, we obviously know that Spock must play a part in this. And obviously somebody will be playing the part of Spock. We don't know who yet, but, you know, it's been alluded to already just with the sets that we've seen.
Sure, absolutely. And so, you know, he's Pike's first officer. So it'd be nice to see more of the Pike-Spock relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, should we get into our animated series?
Yeah, let's transition to The Practical Joker.
Practical Joker. So, for those that are not aware, after the last original series, it had a little hiatus, and then it jumped back into an animated series of Star Trek. A lot of people don't know that, Dave.
People are baffled whenever I tell them there was a Star Trek animated series. And then they're like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, just don't watch it. It's not that great.
It's not that great. It's just there for shits and giggles.
It's made for kids, but not... But is, and it's but terrible is. At times. This episode is actually not that bad. It's probably one of the better animated series episodes.
There's a few that are enjoyable, but most of them are pretty bad.
There's a few that don't make it feel like 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you have some mushrooms with Cyborg and sit back and watch some animated series, you might enjoy yourself.
The great old Funimation rotoscoping, and it's awful. That's so awful.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff. So anyways, let's get into it. The Practical Joker. This is season 2, episode 3. And this first aired September 21st, 1974. So we get the Enterprise has been doing geological surveys for some Type 4 asteroids. And they're nearing completion. And they're a full 72 hours ahead of schedule. And while they're enjoying their categorizing of Type 4 asteroids, as they fly across one of the last one they're going to scan and work on, who do they run into? A bunch of Romulans.
Klingons. Wait.
Nope. They look like Klingons because they got the D7s.
Yeah, I know. I just, it's the animated series. They could have drawn in the old classic Romulan ship, but they still kept the D7s.
I do think this is one of the reasons why with the one we talked about
with Stewart,
the Enterprise with Stewart Foley from Trek Yards and the Enterprise incident and this one, I think that's why I always assumed that the D7s and the Romulans were so connected. You know, I didn't understand until Stewart kind of
explained there was like that technology exchange. Yeah. Which is really strange, considering how much they hate each other. Like maybe the technology failed really bad. Maybe that's why they hated them. Maybe this episode is why the Romulans hate the Klingons so much.
It could be. So they run into three D7s, which is obviously an ambush. And while they're doing, obviously they're outnumbered, and they want to put up a fight, especially Scotty. Scotty's like. Yeah, let's give them a fight. And Kirk decides that he's going to say discretion is the better part of valor, and he decides to he's going to run away.
Brave Sir Robin ran away. Bravely ran away. I didn't. When danger made its ugly head, he bravely turned his tail and fled. That's a song I know.
Exactly. You do know that song. See. So, anyways. So as they're running from the Romulans, they come across this energy field,
the Briar Patch,
which all these sub
Not really.
Yeah, they don't say Briar Patch, but they basically say it's like a.
They treat it like the Briar Patch, though, like the Peter Rabbit, the Briar Patch.
Oh, of course, absolutely. So they say it's like filled with subatomic particles. It's this unidentified energy field. Oh, and just to back up just slightly, the Romulan commander, when they communicate with him, he basically says that they've gone into Romulan territory, and Kirk's like, "I did not go into any kind of Romulan territory." So
Kirk's good at not going, quote unquote, not going in the Romulan territory.
Yeah,
it's a very Kirk thing to do. Like
I don't really know how that worked out, but anyway, so the Enterprise flies through this unidentified energy field to get rid of the Romulans. So the ship is kind of like getting knocked around. Even Scotty says, "Hold together, little darling, hold together."
There's lots of Scotty cutaways in this episode.
Yeah, and he's just kind of like making his little statements alone in the engine room.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
What is it? So, it's like, I like the engine.
Yeah. Just rub it on the dilithium crystals, baby. Mm.
Penis enlargement tricks.
Well, they do make it through. And then as the ship is safely made through this energy field, Uhura says, "After that ride, I could use some repairs."
Ooh.
So,
Scotty, meet me in the rec room.
I think she needs to change some of her undergarments.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Lots of suggestive stuff in the animated series.
Yeah, they didn't really get into it, but we don't know. Our next scene, we get the officer in the mess hall, which is unusual because we don't normally see them all sitting there and eating together. Not that we'd never see that, but it's very uncommon. And they're kind of saying that it's going to take 24 hours to fix the ship. And while they're taking a drink, Sulu takes a drink. He finds the glass leaks all over him. And then it starts leaking on all the other people, too, as well.
Looks like a cum stain.
And it does. It's honestly so bad with Sulu, I mean, come on. You're just making this way too easy for us guys.
It looks so bad. But everyone gets a cum stain on their shirt from drinking from these glasses. So there's got to be a practical joker around.
It's got to be a crocodile joker, because not only does our glasses leak, but they're filled with spooge. So,
oh my. It must have been Sulu. He pranked himself and everyone else.
So they basically, like, even McCoy goes, "This has to be a practical joke. We have a practical joker somewhere on the ship." And then when Kirk wants to grab a bite to eat, his fork strangely bends and lands the food right on his lap. And they obviously think it's somebody who's doing that to them on the ship. And even Kirk says later on that these are like simple-minded pranks during one of those captain's logs. And next we have Spock seems to have a strange microscope device on his workstation on the bridge.
I don't know what these are for.
I can't see what this is useful for. As he looks into it, when he looks up, he has the old raccoon black eye trick. Like you used to do with the binoculars.
Oops. I think it would have been funnier if it was just on his regular station and then it had this big square on his face.
That would be hilarious, too. But yeah, so we get a prank played on Spock, which is, you know, it's a little funny. You got to admit. Spock probably doesn't even register that being funny. And then next thing we have Scotty going to get grilled cheese. And when he goes to the food synthesizers in the mess hall, it just starts throwing food at him.
All over the place.
It's just dumping food all over him. It's actually pretty comical to see. It's like Kirk with the tribbles falling around him. He's just had food just dumping all over him.
Almost exactly the same.
Flying
yes.
out of it. It's hilarious. And and then last we get a cream pie comes flying out of the machine and just hits Scotty right in the face. Again.
Like they do.
Right. Like they do. He has sort of a... He has a pie all over the face, and we have crew members having a laugh on Scotty's behalf, and he even blames the crew members, saying, "You're doing this." So they don't know who's doing this, but somebody buddy on the ship is playing all these practical jokes. Kirk comes up to the bridge next, and he's pissed off because he got his uniform from the cleaning service. And when he puts on his uniform, guess what it say on the back, Dave?
It says, Kirk is a jerk. That was probably the nicest one. They probably had lots of other expletives that Kirk is all these other horrible things. He probably put on the nicest one.
Yeah, it was the most one that he could put
the most decent one.
Wasn't
yeah.
like...
Yeah. Kirk is a right. cocksucker. You know, he didn't want to put that one on.
Kirk raped me.
Janice Rand was raped by Kirk.
Oh, I know. By evil Kirk. So this is a pretty popular meme that we've seen passed around over the, you know, through the interwebs.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk is a jerk.
Absolutely.
So this is where the episode comes from.
It's great because it's not even a Photoshop. It's actual. It's true. It's funny.
It is true. This actually did happen. And so he's a little upset by everybody, by all the practical jokes and his uniforms calling him jerks and who knows what else they said. Next, we
hear the computer laugh. You hear a laugh, and he's like, "Why are you laughing at me?" And it's like, no one's like, "We didn't laugh."
We didn't laugh. Yeah, I don't know what's doing that. So next we see some steam or vapor coming out from underneath the turbo lift door. And Kirk and Spock go to investigate. And when they walk down there, this hallway in this corridor, there's fog all over the floor. And then they find out the floor is completely covered in ice. And they kind of do this kind of skating routine where they're trying to catch their balance.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. Just the animation of it.
Animation is so not good. It's pretty funny. Yeah, how it comes off.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, sir. What it is. So, anyways, Spock then figures out that the practical joker is the Enterprise itself.
Yeah, there's no other explanation for it.
And is the ship's computer's voice? That's what she's hearing.
Majel Barrett.
Thank you. I couldn't even spit out that name. I don't know why. That is doing the voiceovers for the computer. So Kirk calls all hands to stations. We're going to do a complete system check to figure out what's going on. Just before that happens, we have, which is probably maybe the most interesting part of this whole episode, is McCoy, Sulu, and Uhura decided to spend some time
in the rec room,
which is a precursor to the holodeck. This is the first time we really see the holodeck.
Yeah, and
is very.
They actually said Memory Alpha. Roddenberry wanted a holodeck-like thing in season 3 of the original series, but the budget didn't work out, so they couldn't do it in there. But they were able to do it in the animated series. So I mean, you know, there is evidence that holograms in Discovery isn't that big a deal, and this episode kind of proves it.
Yeah. Sulu punches up the beach. But then McCoy says, "I kind of like a walk in the woods." And Uhura says, "Yeah, that sounds great." So they bring up a woods kind of scenery, and then they start walking through this woods in this rec room. So it is a holodeck. And as they walk through it, the ship decides it's going to do a prank on them as well. So as Kirk called for everyone to call the stations, they reported that Uhura, McCoy, and Sulu has not reported. They're still in the rec room, and Kirk's trying to get through to them, but unfortunately not getting through because obviously the Enterprise is playing a trick on those three down in the rec room.
Not letting them know what's happening.
Right. So, and during that time down in the rec room in the forest that they're walking through, they are hearing laughter and stuff like that through the woods.
And, maybe this is the bird track rewinding. Nope.
Yes, the old tapes rewinding. Like, do you have tapes? You have cassette tapes?
They have holographic tapes that have to rewind. It's great.
Right.
The future's awesome, guys.
So next we see that the holodeck, the Enterprise, this practical joke it's going to throw makes a giant pit and covers it with sticks and leaves. So when the party walks across, they fall into this pit, which is... not so much a practical joke, just kind of a dick move now. So,
and then they decide to make it cold.
So after they get into the pit and they climb out, they're going to start looking for a door. But then unfortunately, the ship decides just to make it into a freezing 20 below a landscape. And And they're freezing, of course. And Uhura comes with the idea that if we just keep walking, we'll hit a wall sooner or later. And we can find the door from there.
Nope, that's not how holodecks work. Like, holodecks prevent you from finding the walls.
Yes, they can move the floor underneath you as you walk. So, but it's clever for, you know, for 1974.
Absolutely, I guess.
So as that happens on the bridge, Kirk and Spock are quizzing the computer about where McCoy and Sulu and Uhura are. And Spock asks the computer why they aren't able to contact them. And the computer says that's for me to know and you to find out. And Kirk is pretty pissed at that. So he says he jumps in. And he says, you have to answer everything I ask you since I'm the captain. And he says, tell me where they are, you know, the missing party. And
Computer
says, say please. And then
with sugar on top,
and please with sugar on top. But then Kirk isn't going to say that. So he's pretty pissed off. So next we get Scotty, and he's going to down to engineering, and he is going to basically go to the computers and pull the plug on the computer of the ship.
And then the computer
shut down,
pulls away the gravity.
That's right. And everyone starts floating around. This is pretty funny, too, because we don't normally see this as well.
Yeah, we'd never see the Enterprise lose gravity.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny. And at one point, they're all sitting on the ceiling because they reverse the gravity. And Scotty's literally walking on the ceiling of the engine room. And Kirk orders Scotty to leave the engine room, and then maybe the gravity will be put back to normal, which it is. But it's pretty funny.
And then the Romulans start showing back up.
Well, they decide that they're going to try to go back and go through the energy field one more time. Kirk makes the decision that maybe this was the subatomic particles in that energy field is what infected the ship. And this is what affected it and changed its programming, I guess. That's the only way I can possibly think what's going on here. And
because they don't really explain it.
No, they don't. They just basically say that, you know,
computer just gets a mind of its own.
The computer just kind of gets its own thing going on. But we do get the see Scotty and engineering. They're trying to break into the rec room. They've got crowbars, and they're trying to get that open. So they're at work trying to save them. Unfortunately, I guess the power tools are losing power every time they get near the door. So the Enterprise is pretty hell-bent on killing McCoy, Sulu, and Uhura. So.
Kill them. They're useless.
Yeah. Next thing we get is, strangely enough, is Kirk starts laughing uncontrollably.
Oh, yeah.
And Enterprise is pumping nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas, into the ship, which would definitely kill them, but it seems like Spock seemed to find some reserve air to stop that. But I guess they only have a certain amount of time to do that before that happens. I'm not entirely clear, but I guess they have reserve air just in case, like just auxiliary case. Air.
Auxiliary air. Yeah, it makes sense. You need auxiliary air in space.
Right. During that time, though, in the rec room, the freezing cold tundra landscape changes to a maze, like a hedge maze. And they have to get out of that center and find their way out. But just at the last minute time, the two engineers with the crowbar open, and they're good to go. The last part we get is basically the Enterprise is still being chased by these Romulans.
And then the ship makes a giant inflatable version of itself somehow.
Yes. So it's even bigger than the Enterprise, apparently. And it's supposed to be – it's a decoy ship. And – basically, by the Romulans firing on it, being duped by this, this is going to
infuriate the Romulans.
It's going to just be the worst thing ever. So the Romulans obviously fire on this balloon ship. Why their sensors don't realize this is not a real ship, I don't know.
Don't know. Who knows?
It just deflates to like an unused condom.
Yeah, it does look like that. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah. And, you know, so they then are infuriated, like you said, and are chasing after the Enterprise, even with more heat and anger. looking for vengeance now. Kirk then plays the idea that he's a terrified of this energy field and he does not want to go into it. And unfortunately, the ship takes the bait and says, well, this would be a great trick for Kirk if I scare the shit out of him by putting him through this energy field. They go through the energy field and the ship.
Romulans follow. They're gung-ho on following this time because they've been insulted.
That's right. So the Romulans do follow them into this. But the ship, the Enterprise computers revert back to normal by going through that energy field again. And then the Romulan ships, unfortunately, seem like they are doing the same thing.
They start going haywire.
Yeah, they start losing their minds once again on their ships and driving them crazy with practical jokes or whatever that. Maybe they turn into a homicidal maniac. We don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
It is a Klingon-designed ship, after all.
Yeah, who knows?
It releases all the Targs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe release the Targs.
That'd be great.
And so then we get kind of the end of that. That's the show wraps up. The Enterprise kind of escapes from the three Romulan ships. The three Romulan going through the ill effects of going through that energy field, and they kind of leave them there to suffer.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we'll tell them eventually once we're far, far away.
Yeah, right.
And then they all have like the bridge laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, they might all be dying.
Which makes it even better.
This is obviously this episode is an animated series, which is never anybody's favorite. But I'm a firm believer that animated series does have a place in canon. Even if it seems silly and ridiculous, and I know a lot of people disagree with that. But how do you feel about this episode after watching it?
Well, like I said up top, usually animated series episodes are pretty terrible. This is a not awful animated series episode. It's pretty good. It's a lot better than the Magics of Magus 2. It's not as good as Yesteryear. So it's like in this limbo, in between space. It's a solid episode, and it's nice seeing a holodeck, in TOS era. And it's our first holodeck malfunction episode ever, technically, even though it was the entire computer system that was messed up. But it still manifested as, the holodeck gone wrong. So it's kind of fun. And well done. And, this is one of the few episodes that don't feel like it's, twice as long as it actually is. It was 20-something minutes, and it felt like it. It didn't feel like an hour or an hour and a half like some of the other animated series episodes do. How about you, man?
Yeah, it's not a very it's maybe not as high. I don't even want to say high-minded as the Infinite Vulcan or anything like that. But I mean, it's relatively interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not high concept, but it's watchable.
No. Yeah, I do really enjoy the idea that the ship starts turning against them. We do see that here and there, especially in the Next Generation. I was reminded of the episode Emergence, where the ship starts making its own kind of offspring with those weird curly fry or curly straws. They're light up. Do you remember that one? I think it's seventh season.
Oh, I haven't watched seventh season in a long time.
The Enterprise, being a supercomputer, you got to start thinking that sooner or later the ships start becoming
sentient.
Maybe not sentient, but something pretty intelligent. Yeah. So,
The central computer can create sentient holograms. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got Moriarty. So if it's capable of doing that, I don't know, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, but maybe the computer, the central core, has more safeguards because it's trying to do more things than just, trying to be sentient. It's got like a million systems and a million other computers to run.
Right.
Science lab, science experiments, shields, all that fun stuff in a starship.
Right, right. The practical jokes during it, I mean, they're funny. I think the funniest ones to me was obviously Kirk is a jerk, Scotty getting fruit and food thrown on top of him, and then obviously the spooge stains on their shirts it's pretty damn funny. So, I don't know. I mean, it's all kind of juvenile, of course. It's strange that the Enterprise decided to become a practical joker.
Yeah, it is. And where did they get the all the rubber to make a giant inflatable Enterprise?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's just going to just make fruit fly at Scotty, I guess it can just start just making its own
it somehow. Yeah,
yeah. I've maybe that's something they have in their ship as a decoy. I don't know.
I want to see that in Discovery. I want to see an inflatable Discovery.
Right. Decoy, yeah. I mean, there's an old Japanimation show that I used to watch when I was younger called Star Blazers, and they used the same idea. They used a inflatable ship of the Argo as a rubber, you know, a balloon decoy at one point too. So this isn't the first time I've seen this as a decoy for the enemies to chase after for a spaceship. I'm not sure if this came first or the Star Blazer cartoon, but it's still interesting that this is a trope that's been used more than once.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's still silly that, you know, in Star Trek technology that the Romulans just don't scan it and go like, because they're obviously looking for armaments and stuff like that. You know, like, do they have their shields up? No, it's just a giant vinyl balloon.
We must board it. It must have superior technology. We can't penetrate it with our sensors. Oh, my goodness.
Tricked again. The old inflatable balloon trick.
Kirk!
Stop falling for that. I know. Think of all the time Kirk could have used that.
All the time.
You know, could have defeated Khan and Chang.
Inflatable green woman. Hmm.
Well, I'm sure he does that too. Yeah, so it's obviously not anything really great for an episode, but it's interesting idea that we see the ship turn against them or even become somewhat sentient to do play practical jokes. So I guess the Enterprise is at the heart a practical joker.
I guess so. I guess someone like Barkley programmed it or something. It's like, oh, let's just be funny. Ha ha ha.
And you know, of course, it's interesting that we get these basically the first holodeck that we've ever really seen.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of cool. And obviously, Roddenberry wanted to use an idea for a holodeck kind of thing, and way, you know, years before Next Generation even started. So,
yeah, it's interesting because DC Fontana said they didn't even remember that it was a thing that they were thinking about in TOS. They thought they, you know, thought of it, you know, separately for Next Gen, which is kind of interesting. But
Right. Yeah. So Practical Joker, I wouldn't really recommend this one per se. I mean, it's fun. But there's other ones you could. I would say if you haven't seen any of the animated series, I would say Infinite Vulcan
is
at least more interesting.
Well, and Yesteryear is probably by far the better episode, I think, of the animated series.
Yeah, yeah, those are pretty good. It's hard to say. I mean, there's so many that are just like, you know. I did enjoy that the Slaver Weapon I did with Guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Davis.
Slaver Weapon was pretty good.
That comes after this episode, and the one just before that was the Magics of Magus 2. Oh. So with where they hang out with Satan.
They hang out with Satan. Spock draws a pentagram on the ground and performs black magic on the Enterprise. What could go wrong? This is a kid's show, right?
I love it. The 70s was a wild time.
What about the Satanic Panic? What?
Yeah. This was a start.
The Magics of Magus 2.
This started everything.
Spock drawing pentagrams.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty great.
He's a sorcerer.
Sorcerer Supreme. Anyways. Dr. Spock.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Spock. There was a Dr. Spock. All right, well, let's wrap that up. We
got two emails this week.
We got to read some emails, but the Practical Joker, you could skip it. It's fun to watch for a minute. If you, like I said, if you're doing shrooms with Cybok, great, great fun. If you're, you know, looking for serious Trek, you might be left a little short.
Gotcha. So we got a new email from Josh, and I'll go ahead and read that, and then Aaron can go ahead and read the other one. We actually got a response from the email we read last week.
Great.
So from Josh, we got, hey, I've only listened to a few random episodes, including the most recent one, but I wanted to reach out and say thanks for putting the podcast together. So when I initially read the description of the podcast, I was sure there would only be like 3 episodes and never hear from you again. I'm really glad that you're either really stubborn or that there's a good following for the show. We were really stubborn. And thank you for listening to the show. I kind of want to answer this as we go along, so we answer the important parts.
We are very stubborn.
We are very stubborn. Three years in going, we are very stubborn. Josh goes on to say, no worries about the clipping in the last episode. It wasn't too bad, and I'd rather have more content than one perfect show every 6 months. So if you've got the capability of adding another recording channel, you can keep it on a low sensitivity and refer back to the channel if you need to recover audio in the post. Some field recorders have this feature as well. I use a field recorder, actually, and I was just doing some recording with a microphone directly to it. And I forgot to turn it down, and that's why there was clipping in the episode. So that's kind of what happened. But yeah, it was just a user error, so I apologize about that. Josh goes on to say, I appreciate your balanced approach to shit-talking's Discovery and the more in-depth reviews and play-by-plays of individual episodes. I really want to enjoy Discovery because it's crucial, because it's only the current source for new Star Trek. But for many of the reasons you've covered on the show, it's just not in line with what the fans expect from the franchise. Well, I guess at this point, it's exactly what I expected and just not what I hoped. Still rooting for them to keep it going, but I'd rather be complaining about Star Trek than still have no Star Trek at all. Personally, I agree with you. I would rather have Star Trek to complain about than no Star Trek at all. So I think you're there with me, Aaron.
Yeah, I agree. Discovery has been fun to watch, and we do have our gripes, but overall, we have been enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to shit talk it. I mean, you're saying you shit talking Discovery. I'm like, we just call it how we see it. Honestly.
Yeah, and I don't think we're too harsh. I think we're pretty fair. Yeah. I think we call shit when we see shit, and we call awesome. I mean, there's been times we have been so excited after an episode that we saw on Discovery, and then there are times we're like, I don't know what this is.
And, I mean, I guess it could be shit talking because we keep talking about our gripes because they keep coming up, but it's also because of news that just reinforces our gripes, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, true.
So Josh continues on to say, as far as feedback for the show itself, I really appreciate the opportunity to take a fresh look at the older episodes. A good Star Trek episode leaves at least one question unanswered, and I've always found it fascinating to talk about the show with other fans. There tends to be a disagreement on the decisions made by the crew, especially if an order was disobeyed or a moral dilemma was introduced. Plot holes and political justifications always make for great discussion as well. I've enjoyed the balance of Holly's perspectives brings to the conversation. Keep her around as long as she'll put up with your antics. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in the future. I'd love to hear guest spots in the show, especially if you can get anyone involved with production. There's probably some opportunity for you to look into other series that were inspired by Star Trek, or you could get into some of the X is better than Star Trek debates. You may have already covered some of the previous episodes. I'll get to them eventually. I don't think we've ever done an X is better than Star Trek. I've always kind of wanted to pitch a Star Trek versus Star Wars episode, just to kind of like have fun with it. But it's something we've never actually done, I don't think.
No, we never really did that. I mean, we've definitely talked Star Wars.
But I don't think we've ever done versus.
Yeah, like we've never really gone like the Orville is better than Discovery or anything, because that's a big debate lately.
Oh, yeah. I would not say it's better. I would say it's a rehash of Next Gen and TOS.
That's what I would say, too.
I like the Orville, yeah, but like the Orville isn't doing anything interesting on its own. It literally only exists so far to parrot old TOS and Next Gen episodes. It hasn't done anything really unique on its own, I don't think. Personally, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's emulating good episodes, and you know, it's adding jokes and kind of making it funny. But I mean, it's almost every single episode is like a direct link to another TOS or TNG episode. So it's kind of like,
I enjoy the humor that's added on to it. It's funny because obviously Seth MacFarlane's a funny guy, but he's a huge Star Trek fan as well. And it would be cool if he would be able to move ahead out of like you said, TOS Next Generation episodes and do something a little more, I don't know, edgy, which I'm sure he'd wanted to do, but I don't think he was given the green light for that.
Yeah, it just seems the Orville season one just seems like it's been really safe, and I really hope they kind of push Orville into kind of doing its own thing instead of just recreating old Star Trek episodes. Because I think that's why Star Trek people like it better than Discovery, because like at least it feels like Star Trek. It feels like Star Trek because they're literally copying old Star Trek. You know what I mean? It's not trying to do anything new other than it's adding jokes to old Star Trek episodes.
Oh yeah, it totally feels like Next Generation, just with a new dash of paint or something like that.
Yeah, it does. And even to the point where you start off with like a black pilot, and then all of a sudden he's been transitioned to engineer. Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're not even being subtle, like at all. It's kind of infuriating that they're just copying basically Next Gen.
Sure. As for Holly, Holly's been great too. We are enjoying having her on. She's in the middle of moving, as we kind of stayed the last time. So she's going to be tied up probably for the next week or two. So
I think she's going to be tied up for like more than a month. So the idea is to get her back as often as possible, as often as schedules can work together, because we love having her on. Her insights have been fantastic. And you must really love her, because we've been getting a lot of emails lately, guys, and I really appreciate getting emails. And I don't know if it's Holly or if it's the content or a little bit of both, but I really appreciate all the emails coming in.
It's probably Holly. It's probably Holly.
People love Holly. Michelle Vine. All right, so going back to the email, it says, I'm no scientist, but I love thinking scientifically about concepts. My favorite science fiction technology is stuff that has basis in science fact. I don't think any other show can claim as much influence on tech trends, even if they do tend to bounce too many graviton particle beams off the main deflector dish. Even back then, we were confused by Klingon-style decisions. Anyway, I totally agree that Discovery needs to explain their tech better. If not, at least I know I won't be the only one complaining about it. I've been spreading the word about the podcast. I don't have much else to contribute, but here's a picture of a 3D-printed Voyager. Good luck, and I'll keep it under warp 9.9. Best regards, Josh. Nice. P.S. They do have a podcast made by dogs, and made by is in quotation marks. It's a kid's show. I've never listened to it, but I heard an ad for it. I guess the ad worked because I remembered it when you guys mentioned a dog podcast. So that's interesting. There's podcasts about literally everything. And thank you so much, Josh, for spreading the word about the podcast. That means so much to me and to Aaron, I'm sure. And that's the best way you can really help out the show, is spreading the word, telling people about us. You know, if you think we're funny, like, tell them that. Like, even if they don't like Star Trek and you think they would not mind a funny podcast, I mean, I think we are generally entertaining. And that our friend Robbie from Nerdonomicon, he doesn't care much about Star Trek, but he likes listening to our show because of us and how we, you know, how we relate to each other on the show, because Aaron and I have been friends for years. And, you know, the show is, you know, about our friendship and our love of Star Trek. So
that's right.
It's what that brings to the table. So and I love everyone on the show. And we have a great dynamic together, I think. And I think that's what attracts the people who do listen to the show to the show.
Absolutely. And, you know, Holly can only make things better. I think obviously Holly's a fan of sci-fi and Star Trek, and she seems to enjoy considering the things that we consider when we watch a Star Trek episode. You know, there's things, but I enjoy her having the female perspective of things than us just telling dick jokes constantly. So
good. And then she yells at us for telling the dick jokes. So it makes it all the more fun. And I've always enjoyed having a three person podcast. We started off kind of as a three person podcast, and you know, real life happens and stuff. And so I always liked the dynamic of three. Like mm-hmm. like the podcast Aaron got me into is called Last Podcast and Left, and they always have three people, and like the three person dynamic is fantastic, and I really hope we can keep that up more often with Holly when she gets settled in her new place.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, thanks so much, Josh. Well, I loved the email. Your 3D printed Voyager is awesome. Your feedback is fantastic. It's great, you know, to hear from you guys. It's really great. So thank you so much for the emails, and keep them coming. We love to read them and love to respond to them.
Absolutely. Should I go on to the next email?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is a response from our last, this is This is our George R.R. Martin, who we had last time.
The artist formerly known as George R.R. because he asked us not to call him George R.R. anymore.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, so email reads, first, thank you for taking me seriously and actually reading my email on the air. I must write like I talk because when I read it aloud, it sounds like a giant run-on sentence of a deranged person or exactly like me. I'm sorry for that. Just so you know, last time we did our episode, we were kind of in the dark and we were trying to read, so it was a little difficult. It was late at night as well, so.
Yeah, that's why I also called him like a mole man or something like that.
Yeah.
He had this light on his head, sort of.
I had a light on top of my head, so. Anyways, the email continues. The George R.R. Martin thing was hilarious. If you ever read another one of my emails on air, I would like to be known for it as not George R.R. Martin because my writing is so bad. That's pretty funny.
The artist formerly known as George R.R.
He did link a couple stories about his previous email. So he threw some links on there from basically talking about Alex Kurtzman and Star Trek Discovery episodes and stuff like that.
Yeah, one of them was about the Harry Mudd episode, and it was said that they created it because it was they needed to save money. And I felt like that was an expensive episode because there's lots of special effects killing Lorca over and over again. So I'm kind of confused to why they thought that was a cheap episode, but maybe it was. I don't know.
Well, maybe they don't have to build the sets. That's the thing.
Sure. Yeah, so. It was a vital episode.
So, so that he puts links above prove some of my points from the previous emails. This much turnover at any job is not a good sign. I know you really like the episode "Magic Makes the Sanest Man Go Mad," but now it is revealed that it was not part of the master plot plan. Rather, it was slapped together with a modern equivalent of wire and glue. I almost refer TOS dirty and papier-mâché rock planet. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost prefer TOS's dirty and papier-mâché rock planets to whatever that episode was. Don't get me wrong. It was entertaining. It just had nothing to do with Star Trek, much like Star Trek Discovery. And really, do you need to throw away an episode in the first season? I sort of agree in some of that. I mean, it was misplaced. It was sort of like stuck in the middle for odd reasons. I think they wanted Rainn Wilson more, and maybe they just would try to write him in. I'm not entirely sure. What do you think about that?
I mean, I agree. I mean, this is one of my complaints when we first watched the season. Like, this has nothing to do with the rest of the season. It irked me that they wasted an entire episode on not the Klingon War, when it was a season about the Klingon War, and then we got another four wasted episodes in the Mirror Universe. So, yeah, yeah. I definitely agree that they wasted time and were deceiving on what the season was really about.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. The email continues. I'm annoyed because both the quick loss of producers and the use of a throwaway episode in the first season signals that it got danged amateur hour. Really, you guys are losing producers on the left and on the right, and I have already done what might as well have been a clip show. Really, it really does explain the slow motion car crash in space that is Star Trek Discovery. I do not take the substance of Star Trek that seriously. Like most pop culture, it's meant to be fun. But it can also be tremendously engrossing. Discovery wants to be the next Lost, BS, or Battlestar Galactica, or even Game of Thrones, when it can barely be Star Trek. I kind of agree with that. It's definitely one of those things. It's trying to be some of these bigger shows that came around, and it's not really living up to that. Like I think they want to be Game of Thrones or Battlestar Galactica. But I don't think they can really hit that mark.
I would like to see them try to be Game of Thrones in space. They haven't gotten there yet at all. I mean, I would personally love to see that come to fruition. If they could do it. But I mean, I agree. They're having a hard time even being Star Trek. So it's difficult.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously the first season. Any first season. I mean, there's been a few shows that the first season hits it right out of the gate, Game of Thrones obviously being one of them, but this one had to find its legs, of course. So I'm hoping they do by season two, which we will see what happens. So the email continues. Speaking of which, you, have you guys considered expanding your podcast to include other fantasy-oriented media? There's nothing wrong if you want your format with your format if you are happy with it. I myself have not watched every Star Trek series or film. Unless it's a game changer, discussion of a single episode of Voyager would probably be a hard pass for me. I understand Star Trek may be your forte, but maybe the audience for the older stuff is limited. Heed the implied wisdom of Mr. Larry Nemechek. Is Discovery pulling in new fans or simply there for the existing audience? Is Synthaholics formatting to pull new fans or to comfort the old? That is probably the sharpest thought right there I've heard in a while. Don't you think, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it is the sharpest thought that we've had come at us in a while. And it's honestly something Aaron and I have been talking about even before Discovery came on. We've not seen a huge increase in listeners, like, ever. We kind of, like, hit, like, a number, and, like, it seems like we're gaining and losing listeners at the same rate. So that,
yeah.
So that it feels flatlined, and we are discussing ways to try to make changes to the show to see if we can adjust that.
Yeah, we're obviously huge fans of Star Trek. I mean, there's no shadow of doubt there, but there does seem to be a limited pool of Star Trek fans and Star Trek fans that aren't stodgy and old. And sorry if you're stodgy and old. I'm older too, but I try to have a good sense of humor about things. And I enjoy making a couple jokes in the expense of Star Trek. Some people don't like that, of course.
And, you know,
they take it real seriously.
It might be your sense of humor that turns people off, the Star Trek fans. Maybe the Star Trek fans are just older and don't appreciate the type of humor that we do. I mean, that could be a part of it. Or maybe the Star Trek market is flooded with podcasts, and there are tons of Star Trek podcasts out there. So then that could be something too. And it's something we're thinking about doing is maybe doing some episodes a couple times a month, not Star Trek.
Yeah. And we have done it before. We've mentioned this before. I mean, we've done, you know, Spaceballs, Ghost in the Shell. I mean, we've done all of the newest Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, we enjoy all this stuff, and there's tons of new great sci-fi. I mean,
Altered Carbon, the new Lost in Space.
Lost in Space is great. I'm a huge fan of Rick and Morty. There's a lot out there to watch.
We could talk Rick and Morty. That'd be fun.
Oh, Rick and Morty's so awesome. So, yeah, maybe we'll touch on some of those in the future. We haven't really figured that out yet, but me and Dave have been talking. So
yeah, and if you guys have feedback on that, what would you embrace Synthaholics if we were a more generalized science fiction podcast, or maybe even science fiction and fantasy, if there's any fantasy we do want to touch upon? I mean, Aaron's a big fan of Dune, and we covered Dune in the past, and, you know, there is a new Dune movie coming, supposedly, or Dune TV show. Has it been confirmed as a movie? I don't know if it's been confirmed as a movie or TV show yet, but Dune is supposedly coming.
Show. Yeah,
and I think that'd be great to talk about Dune again.
Absolutely. But just returning to finish up this email, says, I watched the original series in reruns in the early 70s. I'm old by society's measures. I'm right there with you. Fortunately, I look great, so it's rarely a problem. It's good to hear. With all due respect, madams and monsieurs, unless there's a significant takeaway from these old episodes, and you are Vic...
Manana.
Thank you.
Vic Manana.
But mostly... on-air personality is entertaining, but not enough to be intrigued by discussion of well-regarded but a minor arcana from 20-plus years ago. You should, of course, play to your interests and play to your strengths. Have fun. Having fun is the main thing. Thanks for that. I made the effort to slow down and be coherent. Please have a good day. I don't know if that last time we read the email, if it was the dark or maybe because you wrote it really quickly, but no matter what, this one was a little easier for me to read, and I have lights on, so that helps too. So
a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, maybe, who knows? But we appreciate the email. Thank you so much for writing us back, and it's great to hear from you, not George R.R.
Yeah, I appreciate the feedback, and like I said before, is Synthaholics formatted for new fans or to comfort the old? That is a really sharp thought there. I don't think I've put that so succinctly into my thoughts before. And
the way Synthaholics,
man, it would be great.
Is now is before. Like if you listen to our first episode and maybe our second and third episode, we would just like pick an episode and we talk about it. We just talk about it for an hour. We wouldn't like do the breakdown. We would just talk about it. And then the feedback we got was that people weren't familiar enough with the episodes to understand what we were talking about. So then we changed,
right.
and we started doing recaps for all the episodes so that we could talk about them and as much as we wanted, but with the that there. And now recaps have become like a huge part of the episode. Almost to the point where like they're like over half the length of the episode. So I think toning down the length of the recaps is something we need to work on in this show. And let us know if you think that's a true statement. And anything else you guys think, suggestions, we're all ears. Because, I mean, the more feedback we have, the more we have to put together and think about to work on making the show better for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to provide a great show that people will be interested to spark imagination, to spark thoughtful, ideas
and discussion
to these episodes, discussion and you know, some funny jokes along the way too. I mean, it's hard to know if what's hitting on all cylinders for everybody. And I do think if Synthaholics is aiming for a younger audience, I think a lot of people have been closed off Discovery because of the CBS All Access paywall. I mean, unless you're, you know, in Europe, then it's a different story, or anywhere else in the world.
Or Canada, you can watch it on Space Channel.
Sure. Sure. So, we might making some adjustments. We haven't decided yet. We haven't really, but we've been talking about it for a long time, and we might make that change soon.
And it's just interesting hearing it come from a listener too. So it's like it's something we've been thinking about, and hearing it come from you as well is really interesting, and it kind of hits home, and maybe it's a change we need to work on sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But the more feedback we have, more emails that you, hopefully hearing us read these emails 2 weeks back to back, you know, from the same RR 2 weeks in a row, hopefully this will inspire more people to write us that we do take the emails seriously and we do like to read them on air and that we do like to answer them and consider them. So hopefully, thank you for your guys' emails, and hopefully this will bring more emails to us. Or maybe we just need Holly to get the emails in. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
We should get some pre-recorded Holly voice saying things.
I know, right? Yeah, maybe we'll just have her read the emails and that'll make the whole show. So
maybe, yeah.
But yeah, we do appreciate the feedback and the thoughts. Star Trek Discovery got a lot of great things going on, got a lot of shit show as well. I guess we'll find out. I mean, the news that just came out that Dave did his video on YouTube about, it's concerning because it looks like we might be falling the same pitfalls. So we'll just have to find out. But, I mean, it's still the last email was saying is, you know, no Trek is some Trek is better than no Trek. So
I'd rather have Trek to complain about than not have any Star Trek at all, which is what the last email said. I completely agree. It's better to have something to talk about and debate about than having nothing at all. So
yeah,
I totally agree with that sentiment. So I really hope Star Trek Discovery lasts 6-7 seasons. I hope we get another show. I want another golden age of Star Trek, like the 90s, like Star Trek movie every couple of years and two or three concurrent running shows. That would be ideal. It would give us so much more to talk about. So the point we maybe wouldn't have to talk about non-Star Trek stuff. But at this point, maybe talking about non-Star Trek stuff is a better option for a little while. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll take some staff meetings.
Some staff meetings, and we'll take feedback seriously. So let us know what you guys think. Do you want to hear our takes on anything in particular or sci-fi in general, new sci-fi stuff? So that'd be fun to hear what you guys think.
Lost in Space, Black Mirror, all that stuff. It's great stuff. Black There's Mirror. A lot of great... Oh,
so much. I love Black Mirror.
There's a lot of great sci-fi going on right now. So that's the cool thing. So that's and that's a problem. That's a problem too. I mean, Discovery's up against is that there's a lot of great shows, not just fantasy shows like Game of Thrones. I mean, there's, you know, like I watched Lost in Space and my kids were blown away with it. I mean, they had me watch some episodes twice. They liked it so much. So I'm not saying it for everybody. You know, some people might not like it as much, but it was entertaining. I can't, you know, and like Black Mirror is awesome. You know,
so good. And it's almost always cerebral, which would be so interesting to talk about.
Yeah, because we get into like the whole debate about things. And I mean, we talked about the Black Mirror, the
USS Callister, because it's Star Trek.
Yeah, Callister. Yeah, right.
But we'd love to get more of that.
We had to talk about that one. But so maybe we'll do more of that in the future as well. We haven't figured that one out, but that is some great insight. Not our Martin.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for the emails, guys. We really appreciate it.
Well, Dave, Practical Joker, we've done another animated series just to piss off our audience.
So they might not even hear these emails, so I'm sorry about that. But
I don't know.
I mean, if we get enough emails, we might even have to have email-only episodes. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be fun.
I'll make sure I write emails in the show notes so people know there's emails.
Emails. Get your fresh emails.
Get your email Gmails. Get them while they're hot. Our intro is put up by Dave Wilkes. The rest of our music is put up by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show you can find at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. Join the Facebook conversation at facebook.com/group/syntholics. And you can tweet syntholics at syntholicduo. Me personally, I'm at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. And Holly is at Lunar Thistle. So you can tweet her and tell her you missed her this week.
I missed you. We miss you, Holly.
And don't forget to tweet at Star Trek, at Alex Kurtzman, whatever his actual Twitter is, and at Star Trek Discovery to tell them bring back Cybok. We need to Twitter bomb them. So join us in the Spring Cybok Back Revolution.
Absolutely. I love that idea. Also, as well, please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. It's a great way to get people to see us in the Apple iTunes algorithms, which seems to pump all the other podcast platforms. So if you could do that, it would be much appreciated. Also, if you could throw some money our way, we'd greatly appreciate it. Go to patreon.com/syntholics. $1 a month is not much to ask to help support the show and help us keep on recording and help keep any kind of equipment malfunctions or replacements that we need to do would be much appreciated. And lastly, as we said before in the podcast, you know, word of mouth is a wonderful way to support the show. If you know people who are into sci-fi, into Star Trek, into anything really goofy, two, three goofy people talking about something about Star Trek, Kirk and Picard getting into trouble, you know, let them know.
Absolutely. And thank you, Josh, again, for preaching the good word of Syntholics. I'm sure you've gone door to door and talked to your neighbors about it, and I really appreciate all your hard work.
That's right. That's right.
And next time the pizza man comes to your door, tell him about Syntholics.
I'll pay you with a tip. You want a tip?
You want a tip?
Listen to Syntholics.
Absolutely. They give them something to do while they're driving around slinging pizzas.
He might hate you, too.
Maybe, especially if they hear this one. But, you know, who knows? Spread the good word however you can. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Aaron, for joining me. It's always a pleasure.
All right, it was great fun.
Even if it's an animated series episode.
Those are my favorite because they're so unpopular.
They're so crazy, but it's fantastic. Well, thank you again, all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Hey, we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Voyager. Voyager is what brings us here together today.
Today.
Voyager, that blessed, that cursed arrangement. A nightmare within a nightmare.
It's a scary thing to watch Voyager. Actually, so what's worse, animated series or Voyager?
Animated series is much, much worse.
I don't know. Sometimes it has its shining moments.
I feel like the ratio to good and bad episodes in animated series is much more skewed than it is in Voyager.
Yeah, but it's so wacky. That's the fun part about it.
It is wacky.
I love the wackiness of animated series.
And all the jizz stains.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's like, how do they not know that jizz stains on Sulu is not funny and that Spock making a pentagram on the floor is not funny?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It baffles me.
It's not a terrible show, but it's not a great show.
For the love of Voyager, man.
What?
What do you mean, what? It's for the love of Voyager. We gotta write as much as there is to write, man. Even if it's about the guy picking his nose when he came up with the idea that Ray Wise should be part of Voyager.
You should put that in there somehow. I don't know how, but
it can go in the outtakes because that's where things go when they don't have a place to go, like Voyager. Voyager's part of the outtakes.
Voyager's the outtake of Star Trek.
I don't even know who I'm trying to impersonate. Now that sounds like Pinky.
Pinky
in the brain.
That's
Gee Whiz brain.
That's great.
If Voyager's
I don't know.
Don't know what. Don't know what, Brian?
I don't either. I don't know either. Oh, my God. All right.
I was recording most of that, so that can be in the outtakes. Thank goodness.